to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, streaming live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are also rebroadcast on Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time at a2zen.fm. We archive the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page, and you can find out about our guests by clicking on the links on the various pages, whether it's the schedule page, the guest's name is a link to their website, and then on the radio shows page, the same. And then you have the play button that will play the interview for you, or you can download it and share it with your friends and family, and we encourage you to do so. Extraordinary times in which we live, and that also brings out extraordinary events and extraordinary creations, and we're going to be talking about one of those today. Probably one of the most unique programs in modern times. It's called Global Spirit. It's a unique, they call it an internal travel series. It brings to light the various practices, spiritual, mental, and physical, that help us define who we are as human beings. So one of the things we talk about on this program, it also explores how this affects our relationships to our families, our community, ourselves, and the world at large. And we have on the line with us the producer and director of the Global Spirit series that is on PBS. And his name is Stephen Olson. And Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's almost as if you've been sneaking onto my website and reading a little bit about what we do with this radio program as far as what we're trying to accomplish. It sounds like you're trying to do the same thing with the television program and with some extraordinary people.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I can only say perhaps that's because we both have perceived a similar need in society, that people are ready for programming that asks some of the perennial questions, but in a modern context.
Now, would you consider this to be a series of documentaries?
No, it's not a series of documentaries. Although I'm actually a documentary filmmaker, each program here combines film segments with deep conversation, and the idea is to let film do what it does best, create an experience of a topic or a theme, and then let conversation do what it does best, explore that from various points of view and perspectives.
When did this concept come to you? Was there a specific moment in time, or has this just been sort of your life's work in the back of your mind?
Well, you know, my graduate studies were in anthropology and communications, and I was, at that time, in my early 30s, very interested in, you know, the cultural process, how culture and language inspires and informs the meanings that we have in our life. So, as you can imagine, from that, moving into cosmologies, faith traditions, was just a small step, representing a kind of deeper inquiry into what unites us, what qualities do we all have in common, and do we all have existential questions that are answered through different faiths, through our own explorations, and so on.
It again is just extraordinary, the people that you have involved, especially one of our, this is what I've been told anyway, he's one of our own here in the Santa Barbara or South Coast area, John Cleese, who is part of this project as well. I'm curious, is everybody who is involved in this project sort of along the same mindset, soul set, if you will? I mean, they're all feeling the same way, or for some, is this just, hey, it's an opportunity to be a part of something that may or may not go somewhere. This is just my job.
well.
I know it's not. I'm sure it's not a prerequisite.
I would say, you know, we're really trying to bring a diverse circle of people together. Each program is designed to bring two people together who've never met, mostly, and people who are inspired by each other and who develop a conversation which takes each of them into new terrain. You know, this is different than authors on a book tour who are basically sort of well-prepped to know what they want to say. We put people from different religious backgrounds, different philosophical traditions, into a kind of spontaneous situation where things just come up. You know, many people have seen Deepak Chopra, for example, on public television in these hour-long specials. And, you know, he does, I think, a pretty good job talking about his book and so on. Put him in a situation with Arianne Eisler, who pushes some of his buttons, and he pushes some of her buttons, and you have a different kind of program. You have a different kind of experience, and you see a different side of the person. That program is called Oneness, the Big Picture. Segments are available on our website. I guess you'll give that out soon. But it's a very different kind of model, I think, and more engaging, I would say, because conversation, especially unrehearsed, spontaneous conversation, has the ability to kind of create a moment that has never been something that's never been expressed before. And I think that's one of the things we look for.
Well, I'm just, I mean, just by virtue of some of the subject titles, if you will, the various episodes you have, as you just mentioned, of course, Oneness, the Big Picture, Forgiveness and the healing. Now, one that is intriguing, most intriguing to me, is Music, Sound, and the Sacred. It's something that I've been researching for a number of years, loosely, if you will, with various guests and so forth. And it's always intrigued me about sound and vibration, and of course, you know, I've heard about the Mozart effect. I've been trying to research that a little bit and get information on what different sounds and vibrations and musical styles, what effect they have on the human psyche, on the brain, on the soul, and so on and so forth, in terms of trying to understand, as it sounds like you are, what makes us tick as human beings. And maybe even why we have the kinds of behaviors we do in the world based upon that understanding of what makes us tick.
Yes, although what we're not doing educational television.
Sure.
And we don't aspire to necessarily teach people how processes work in any kind of comprehensive way. What we do, I think, is bring, in the case of that program, a composer-singer, Native American composer-singer, Joanne Shenandoah, together with an Episcopal priest and the director of a choir. Now, these are two people who've never met and are coming from very different traditions. And yet, when our host, Phil Cousineau, is sort of framing the program and the inquiry, we're able to see and learn, I suppose. But it's not just learn, it's actually, I would say, feel what the sacred means to an indigenous artist. Mm. And what the sacred means to the Right Reverend Alan Jones.
Right.
And thereby, I would say, get a broader sense of what music, sound, the sacred, and in that program, silence, we explore not just sound, but silence, that space between sounds and how important that is. Anyway, each program has its own has its own kind of velocity and arrives at different unexpected places.
I'm curious about your background and where you come from, especially from a spiritual perspective.
Well, I'm a native San Franciscan. I did grow up in the Roman Catholic tradition. I was sort of involved as an altar boy, actually, during the Latin-speaking era, and got quite close to ritual, music, sacred music. I think as I was 17, 18, and started drifting away from that into that period of adolescence, then subsequently by my early 20s to India and overland from Europe to India, spending, I guess, 3 years of my 20s in South Asia, between Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India, Nepal, I was really exposed to Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and met various teachers. Tried to do, back in those days, you know, a film about people who were on a spiritual search, like myself. Didn't really have the training to do a very compelling film at that stage, so I went to film school. I did meet, of all those teachers I met during that era, I did meet a Sufi teacher named Bawa Muhyiddin in Sri Lanka. Because of Bawa, I ended up going to graduate school in Philadelphia to be around him, be closer to him, because he was spending, at that time, alternate years in Sri Lanka and Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same teacher who so inspired and motivated Coleman Barks, who you may know, or your listeners may know, is probably the foremost translator of Jalaluddin Rumi's poetry in the West. And Bawa encouraged Coleman to do that work and encouraged me to keep taking pictures. So there was, as somebody said, Bawa put the dot on your forehead way back then, and I think over the years I've spent time around different Sufi teachers, not necessarily a disciple to any. I've stayed involved with the study of Buddhism and different facets of indigenous faiths. So this has just been an ongoing kind of trajectory in my life, and I have the grace to be able to tell stories as I learn and share those stories and insights with other people. That's the beautiful thing about film and television and the internet.
Absolutely. I've been rather surprised that to every website that I go to of a potential guest, I go to their resources or links page where they have their favorite places they like to go. And so far, and this is fascinating, in the last 5 years that we've been doing this program, I've found no duplication yet. It's like it's just a continuum. A continual chain. Nobody's doubled back on me, so to speak, to sites that I've already been to, because there's just so much out there. And at the same time, we have to be, I guess, diligent on the one hand, to do sufficient, I guess they refer to it as due diligence, to investigate and research it sufficiently, as far as the validity. I guess they refer to that as vetting the information, so to speak. One of those wonderful new terms they've thrown at us in the last 4 or 5 years in the news. When you began the process of putting this together, I mean, the topics alone are intriguing to me. I mean, you have Islam and Sufi, the Sufi path of love. And in light of as of this program, the events that have unfolded in just a recent few days, I know a little bit about the Sufi religion in particular, probably even less about Islam, and yet you chose to take on both of these that are to some degree rather obscure to most Americans in particular.
Well, I think if you ask most Americans what do they know anything about Islam, they will say yes. And many of them base that on what they've been exposed to through national media, which has mostly been the news reports, mm-hmm. which by nature are about covering the bad news.
Yeah.
And so you have an awful lot of people who think they know something. And, of course, what we're doing, that show is still in production. Mm-hmm. But what we're doing is we're actually showing that Islam does have a mystical side, which is focused on the practice of love, divine love being an encompassing concept that includes human love, love as the unifying principle of the universe, basically shedding some light on, let's say, Christian minds that, you know, it wasn't just Jesus Christ who was a prophet of love. There are other people in other faiths, and surprisingly enough, within the Islamic faith, and listen to what they have to say. Perhaps that would take you a little further in your understanding of what Islamic faith is all about,
mm-hmm.
and so on. I think there's no effort really here to teach, quote unquote.
Sure.
Because I think that's really what other programs do, informational programs. I think we really want to inspire more than anything else, and create a sense of an experience, a direct experience of, let's say, Sufism. You know, people can say, oh, I know about Sufism. You know, well, if you experience a Sufi zikr for 5 minutes, the chanting, the music, the congregation, you know, and you're just there and you're allowed to watch, I think there's a different kind of knowing that comes from that. And that's, of course, what we rely on our film segments to do for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then follow it with, you know, a conversation that goes a bit deeper. Perhaps can explain or just add context, widen the frame of understanding.
So tell me a little bit about how these 13 topics, if you will, or titles came about, because, again, each one of these is just, I mean, the journey towards oneness. I've been going round in circles with different guests, so to speak, round in circles, no pun intended, in regards to the ancient wisdom teachings, as I have found them, that teach of where we come from, the oneness, and where we're going to, the one or the oneness. And yet here we are in this reality, in this world, in this dualistic world. And my only question is, why? What was the whole point of all of this? You know, I get into, unfortunately, that whole intellectual argument. But I know that there's a deeper spiritual conversation going on, not to focus on that specific title, but what was the was there sort of an ecumenical conclave held to decide what these topics would be and the direction of each of these programs? How did that council come about?
Well, we have a team of people, team of advisors. We get together, we talk about what would make an interesting program. We, of course, have to fundraise for this series.
Right.
We write proposals to foundations and individuals that we know about or that people recommend. And we draft ideas. And we draft ideas of programs. We draft ideas with tentative guests. And we circulate them. And we try to get them funded. And you know, the ones that get funded are the ones that get made, and we have a whole list of topics for our Season 2 Global Spirits programs. So, you know, it's an ongoing process, and it's really mostly a matter of what we've read. You know, a journalist would have an editorial meeting. What's happening this week? What do we want to cover? We do it monthly, and it's about stories and people that we've come across that have stayed with us, and we work it out in a kind of team effort.
The website, by the way, is globalspirit.tv.
Globalspirit.tv, yeah, and you'll see there segments from each of our programs, bios of all of our guests. We're getting a lot of viewer comments from around the country. Those are posted there. information on John Cleese and Phil Cousineau, our wonderful host. And, yeah, that's globalspirit.tv.
And it's something that people can obviously get involved with, especially if they would like to. Not that we're doing any fundraising here for you per se, but if people want to get involved in that fashion, they can do so through the website, right?
Yeah, there is a DVDs of each of the programs are available. We ask for, I think it's a $30 donation there, and there's a way of donating more, and certainly you can contact us if anyone is interested in actually funding in total or in part a Global Spirit program.
I find it so extraordinary that a television program is coming out to have these kinds of conversations and discussions. There's no question that it is going to elicit a ponderous thought, if you will, if that's not a redundancy there. But it's something that one of the things that I think about and ask the question of, and of course it's that one of those universal questions that man is always asking, and that is, you know, why are we here, and where did we come from, and where are we going, and what is consciousness? I mean, you even have a program exploring consciousness. Just to take on that subject matter, I start thinking about, okay, well, if we start to define what that is, then how do we know that other beings on the planet don't have it also, aside from the Homo sapien, the human being? You know, and what about
Which is, of course, exactly where the program naturally developed.
Yeah.
As we started this inquiry, we have two very interesting guests on that program. A man from a Hindu background, a Vedantic tradition from South India, came to film with us, and Peter Russell here in California, an author and sort of consciousness researcher. And precisely when we explored, well, what are we talking about when we use the word consciousness? How different is it from what we understand as awareness? And how does it operate? How far can we extend our understanding of consciousness? And in fact, how is the scientific community identifying consciousness as kind of connective tissue of the universe and the evidence for that? So that program had a more of a scientific flavor in that both of our guests were coming from science backgrounds, although also science and spiritual backgrounds. So again, we brought two people together, and we really didn't know if there were going to be kind of scientific sparks flying or what, you know, or we were going to move into a kind of meditation sequence together. But really insightful show. And I'm writing, by the way, short commentaries, and there are video excerpts, different video excerpts from each of these programs on the Huffington Post. I have a weekly blog, so as each program is broadcast, I'm giving a kind of short behind-the-scenes commentary, and including a 5 to 6 or 7 minute video segment. So that would be under my name, Stephen Olson, on Huffington Post.
Okay.
Religion section.
Ah, okay.
That's where they put us, in the religion section. Interesting. That's the other thing with public television. They don't quite know where to categorize this program. Some put it under religion. Some were getting people writing articles who are travel writers. You know, we are the internal travel series, and so what we're saying is there's really nowhere to go. Distinguish ourselves, I guess, from National Geo or the Animal Planet.
You may have to start your own network.
Anyway, we have fun with all this.
Yeah, you may have to start your own network. I mean, you know, that may be the natural outgrowth of it all, and certainly we could use something like that as far as not just your television series, Global Spirit, but also many other people are They're searching. I've been searching since I was 17. At least I consider that my official beginning, if you will. I, too, like you, grew up in the Roman Catholic Church as a child and a young adult, a teen. And at one point, I didn't want to get up one Sunday morning, and my mother said, fine. And it was years later that I asked her about that incident. Well, why didn't you force me to go? She says, because I didn't want you to push away from the church, which I never did. I no longer consider myself a practicing Catholic, but I have no hatred or anything of that nature towards the church. I love the ritual and the symbolism, the traditions, the ceremony, and that's something that I'm curious if one of your programs deals with that particular aspect of man's need for a certain structure in his life and in terms of bringing meaning to it, bringing consistency to it in terms of those rituals and so forth.
Well, not yet. With a background in anthropology and you can imagine that I'm very interested in ritual. My own career as an altar boy, by the way, ended rather dramatically and abruptly when I lit myself on fire with a church candle during a midnight mass.
Gracious.
On Christmas Eve, and was kind of excommunicated from the core, as somebody said, oh, they gave you permission to search elsewhere. But it really did stem from this experience of ritual, and of course that's a transferable interest. If you go to India or sit in any temple, it's quite easy to notice the similarities across cultures, across faiths, and everyone's pretty much doing the same thing, whether it's with imagery or, in the case of Islam, without imagery.
Yeah.
And just the use of calligraphy, storytelling, poetry.
Yeah.
We're amazing creatures, human beings.
Very much so. We're going to continue talking more with Stephen Olson. He is the producer-director of Global Spirit. It's a 13-week series. Actually, it's continuing. We've already been told there's a second season coming. We're certainly hoping for that as well. And the website is globalspirit.tv. That's globalspirit.tv. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. You stay right where you are. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, along with Stephen Olson. He's the producer-director of Global Spirit at globalspirit.tv. And we're talking about this most extraordinary, at least at present, it's on PBS. You can check your local listings for the days and times of the broadcasting of the program. Excerpts, of course, are available at globalspirit.tv. And you can also pick up a copy of any one of the episodes, or all of the episodes, if you should be so inclined to want to purchase a DVD. They're available in that regard. There's part of me, Stephen, that wonders, one day will it be available on Netflix? I would
love. We're talking about that. At the moment, public television actually, wants to have this 18-month kind of exclusive on the broadcast side. So mm-hmm. I think eventually it will be. At the moment, we're trying to drive traffic to our website.
Right.
Create an experience for people there. Obviously, everything's moving in that direction, so don't be surprised if a year, 18 months from now, the series is on Netflix, but not the immediate future.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this aspect of, and again, this is one of the topics of one of the 13 shows for the first season, called The Spiritual Quest. I refer to mine from the very beginning, called it my search. And I remember having worked for 15 years for a Christian broadcasting company in Phoenix, Arizona. It was one of the greatest educations I was ever paid for. And in addition to everything else, I actually learned a little broadcasting along the way as well. But what I found so fascinating when I shared this with some of the people there, programmers, I said, oh, yeah, I'm on my search. And they would tell me, they said, well, once you find a search and find Jesus, your search is over. And my first thought almost instantaneously was, no, actually, I find Jesus and it's just begun, because I had so many questions. I've just been so curious about this whole realm of metaphysics and spirituality. I even try to explain to some folks that Christianity, among others, is a metaphysical system, if you will, because metaphysics, the definition, is beyond the physical. And that's what Christianity, at least as I understand it, is about. It's not necessarily about this world. It's about our soul life, if you will. And it seems as though each one of the different main, if you want to call them, I don't know if there are 7 or 8 main religions on the planet right now, but they all focus on, for the most part, on that interior, non-physical existence.
Right. Well, let's see. In response to what you were saying earlier, you know, finding it with any one tradition, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And I think for many people, perhaps most people in the world, once one's major existential questions are answered from within a faith, as the Dalai Lama says, that's where you should stay. You know, not encouraging people to change their religion, which, of course, as Bob Thurman says in that program, The Spiritual Quest, you know, this has caused a lot of American Buddhists, for example, to kind of scratch their heads after they have, you know, sort of migrated or converted. But even within really high-level, you know, practitioners or teachers within a certain faith, you know, you can take Christianity. Are you familiar with Father Thomas Keating?
Yes.
Benedictine monk?
Mm-hmm.
Or Brother David Stendhalrost is another example, kind of European example. You know, these are monastics who spent a life in silence and contemplation, or decades, and had a very deep yearning to discover the truths coming from other faiths, and both studied Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and have actually committed their lives to developing a wider conversation, still as Christians, but really extending the truths that they've discovered and trying to share them with other, you know, other Christians who are similarly still asking questions, even though they consider themselves a Christian following a particular denomination.
Mm-hmm. I know that back in the late 80s, I interviewed a gentleman who was part of an organization, a group that basically it was Christians and Muslims for Peace. Now, this was back, again, this was back in the 80s, late 80s. And I remember the experience, not so much, I do remember the interview, but the experience was rather extraordinary because I received a telephone call from someone following a press conference that the guest held, announcing that he was going to be on my program. And this woman called me telling me that we were being used of the devil and so on and so forth. And I thought, boy, that's extraordinary because she hasn't even heard the interview yet. But what I found so even more extraordinary, and maybe more so, more poignant today than even back then, was the fact that this gentleman was talking about how Christians and Muslims have more in common than Christians and Jews. And I thought, wow, that's almost a blasphemous statement to make. And it would be even more so today because of, unfortunately, the tensions that do exist. And that's, I think, where a lot of the misinformation starts to be. It's like what you were saying earlier about how the most of what we know about Islam is from the news media. And that's not information at all. That's, from my perspective, that's more rhetorical, hyperbole, if you will. There's another word I can't think of. But it's like, when was the last time you actually sat down and read information about someone or a group? I did an interview several years ago, and at the beginning of the interview, I said, I'm not going to tell you who these people are from. We're going to discuss the faith system that they're a part of. And at the end of the program, I'm going to tell you, because I don't want you to get lost in the name of the group. And I was curious about the group too. And when the interview was over, I told people who it was. And it because I was curious. I wanted to know. And it was the group Scientology. But I didn't have any problem with what they were talking about as far as the interview was concerned. But at least I wanted to at least get the information out there. I wanted to converse about this rather controversial ism, if you will. But I know that a lot of people, they get lost in the high energy words, if you will, the energized words. When you say Muslim.
Or they get lost in scriptures, you know,
right?
The other thing, people can take a very narrow interpretation of the scriptures and decide, you know, who the sinners are or who are condemned. You know, plus there are, you know, there are groups out there, some of them well funded, who actually do want to close down information on other groups.
Yeah,
and that happens in all kinds of directions, and through their own interests, they really don't want the world to know much about Islam or Judaism, or, you know, even within a faith.
Yeah.
You know, within the Islamic faith, there are those who consider one branch or another heretics, and similarly, you know, exert pressure. So, you know, these are the... This is why, in a way, Global Spirit is not really focusing on religion,
sure,
but rather the transcendent dimension within all of us.
The interconnectedness.
And, the interconnectedness. We do these programs on oneness. We've done two of them now. And it's about that, you know, unity theory,
right?
Unity consciousness, whatever the faith, whatever the external form, whatever the scriptural base, there are things about us all that are so similar that we've been ignoring. And if we were to really embrace this, you know, it's very hard to wage a religious-based war.
Yeah.
It's sort of demasked as a kind of political machinations, which it so often is around the world.
Well, I've heard it said that you can't argue belief, and I've learned that over the years. Really stay away from conversations with people who have literally opposing beliefs, because you know, neither of us is going to win, and quite honestly, we both lose. And that kind of a conversation isn't really constructive to any kind of a unifying effort. And you must, I'm wondering, as an anthropologist, you must kind of cringe when you hear the historical stories of various civilizations who are conquered, and their works, their writings, their icons,
are destroyed.
Let's talk about indigenous people for a moment. You know, the systematic destruction of indigenous faiths by the colonizing powers. Just look at our own hemisphere, you know, with Spain and Portugal following a kind of papal dictate to eradicate faiths that had been evolving for thousands of years, which actually had a much more integrated concept of God and man, and the Abrahamic distinctions between, you know, God as something outside oneself that one, you know, aspires to through this particular structure, representing a complete opposite approach to the divine that most indigenous peoples feel.
I've heard it said that when truth is written down, it's no longer truth. And that I'm finding people are beginning to realize that the answers that they're looking for aren't in a book or in another person. They're in themselves. Do you think that that is part of the transcendental or transcendent aspect, that we're beginning to realize that, okay, so we've lost these archaeological treasures, if you will, the writings of the past. It doesn't matter, because we still have that divinity within each one of us. We have that connection to the divine, to the oneness, if you will?
Well, I think that's kind of self-evident to anyone who really looks closely. And, you know, I mean, I think scriptures and religions are there and really serve at least served as humans evolved a purpose. And I think so many people now identifying themselves as spiritual rather than as religious, you mm-hmm. know, in these recent Pew studies indicate a now that particularly now that we're exposed to so many different traditions through the internet, which is, you know, creating an amazing ability for people to ask questions, find out for themselves, and often when they find out something, that generates new questions. And so I think we're living in a very interesting time, and that we're doing Global Spirit in this time that is looking at, you know, the perennial existential questions, but in light of what we know about each other and what we know about life and what we know about the universe. It's an interesting time to revisit the great teachings.
Hmm. Well, I think that if we have that opportunity, absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more. I've even had conversations with people about the great teachings in the original languages. Well, that's going to be kind of tough if we don't know how to speak Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek or Sanskrit, whatever the language might be. And that's when we have to find, for a period of time, I say, we have to find a teacher who can assist in that translative process.
That's right, a teacher or a guide. We're also developing that idea. We've created another website called onethroughlove.org, where we're taking the poetry and teachings of Jalaluddin Rumi and putting them out there in English, Persian, Turkish, and Arabic. So we're actually taking on this whole notion of translation and letting people understand through the subtitles, but actually feel the poetry, in this case, in its original language. And that's going to be one of the topics in our upcoming program on Islam and the Sufi Path of Love, because it's so fascinating how different languages are able to articulate something in a rather unique and beautifully poetic way. How other languages try to translate that, and in the case of Rumi and Rumi's poetry, are largely successful. But it's never symphonic, as perhaps it sounds in the original. You know, there's yeah. dimensionality to cadence and pacing, and anyway, this whole notion of how poetry, how language, how religions are translated, it's fascinating, and I would just encourage your listeners to have a brief peek at One Through Love, THROUGH and ONE, onethroughlove.org, to see an example of this.
onethroughlove.org?
.org.
.org, and also go to globalspirit.tv.
And globalspirit.tv.
Yeah.
As all the programs we're presenting on PBS.
And you say you're already working on what you're referring to as the second season and beginning to formulate. I'm sorry?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Producing programs, producing a program next week actually called, it's about death and beyond, and it's called Crossing the Great Divide, is our working title. So yeah, one by one, we're actually able to raise the funding to do these programs. We'll put together another series of 10 or 12, and that will be season 2.
Wow. That particular subject is near and dear to my heart in that it's one that I've been researching and studying for years as well. I refer to it as transitioning. Every time someone of note or maybe even a family member or someone close passes, there's less grief and more curiosity. Wonder what they're going through. What are they experiencing right now? What's happening to them? Those are the questions that come to my mind. It's like I want to tag along for a little while. I'm not ready to go. You know, if it's my time, okay. But if it's not, you know, it's one of those, I would love to have a glimpse into that. And I know I'm not alone.
That's right. And imagine people who whose work takes them into that moment with so many people when they are in deep communication with people as they approach that passing or that transition have a lot to share, and we have two really exciting guests for that upcoming show.
That's going to be very, very exciting. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. My guest is Stephen Olson, and we're talking about Global Spirit, the website globalspirit.tv. He is the director producer for a series of programs, extraordinary programs. I mean, we could go into further conversation and discussion about each one of these programs. My best suggestion is you go to globalspirit.tv and find out about these incredible things. How has this project... if you've been able to be the self-observer, how has this project changed you?
As a series, I suppose, it's hard to say in any specific singular way, but I can say that in general, to just be surrounded with great teachings in the editing room and actually... focus on what's being said. Imagine each program we tape for about 2 hours, so it's about a 2-to-1, what's called a shooting ratio. So it's hours, the program's about an hour long, and we tape about twice that. And listening closely and deeply over the number of days or weeks it takes to put these together, you know, creates a kind of state. And that state is a sort of feeling of wake up, get a good night's sleep, do my best, sit down, listen, and kind of make those editorial decisions, not coming from my intellect or reason or any one part of me, but just this feeling of, you know, this belongs, this belongs, this belongs. And it's a kind of a sense of, it's all just passing through me, and that is an incredible realization. You know, it's the same image as the whirling dervish, you know, you talked about earlier, the turning, that Sufi tradition of the whirling dervish with the right hand extended upwards and open for the barakat, or the grace to come through, and the left hand spread and fit, the left palm facing the earth. You know, it's this sense of channeling, I suppose, is one way of putting it. Something much greater than oneself, and it's such a pleasure and an honor to be able to do that.
And the people that you have come in contact with through this project, again, I mean, certainly the notables like A. Deepak Chopra and many others, but also those who are not so well-known, who are out there, and it's been described as they're sort of the glue that in one sense is holding the earth together right now, because if these people in the monastic life, in the prayer life, in the meditative life weren't doing what they were doing, it has been said that, yeah, that civilization would collapse a whole lot faster. And so they're actually helping to kind of keep things at bay until we can make the correct choices to take us in a direction as a civilization that is much more conducive to the continuation of the civilization than the destruction thereof.
Well, that's right. And I think, for example, with our Exploring Consciousness program, we also move not into just the realm of animal consciousness, but we move into the realm of society's evolving consciousness or humanity's evolving consciousness. So it's not just that which takes place within the individual, but the cumulative effect is very exciting. Again, you know, tools like the internet are phenomenally important in the evolution of consciousness. And there is a short video segment we have on that very subject on the One Three Love website. A Sufi teacher named Llewellyn von Lee speaks so eloquently on the evolution of consciousness and the internet's potential.
Mm-hmm. OneThroughLove.org is the website. I'm I've never really been in awe of an individual, but I'm in awe of what you are bringing to the table for all of us. It's an extraordinary experience for us to not just to watch the programs and to listen to the individuals and have watch their conversations and so forth, but to be exposed to that kind of conversation that then is going to cause us to go through our own personal rumination, if you will. I warn people at the beginning of this radio program on occasion. Sometimes I save it till the end. That once you've heard this program, it's too late. You've heard this program. You can't unhear it. So, you must be discerning as to what it is that you are going to take in through your five or six senses. And this is one of those that you need to take in because it isn't going to hurt you. And if nothing more, at least it's going to give you the opportunity to experience these people and what they have to share, maybe in a whole different perspective than you've never seen, than you've never ever heard before.
As John Cleese says in some of our programs at the end, he says, warning, this program may change your life. You know, and it's really just a bit of that, you know, British tongue-in-cheek, and yet there are moments within each one-hour program for different people, and I know this because of the emails that come, something aligns, something that's said, something that's shown in the case of the video segments that just rings a bell and takes someone to a place they've never been before, you know, within themselves. And so that's, you know, you can't plan on that. It's not scriptable. It's just life, and it's just about bringing together wonderful teachers for a unique conversation.
That's one of the things that this program is all about, too, is just it's a conversation. I've had PR companies who want to have a guest come on, and can you send me a list of questions? And I tell them, no. Well, why not? I says, because I don't know what I'm going to ask until I ask the question. Basically, the universe asks the question, Stephen. I'm just along for the ride. And I've had experiences where we're conversing along and da-da-da, and it's a wonderful afternoon, and then all of a sudden this question comes up in the back of my mind, and then I'm sitting here, my intellect says, no, that's not relevant. You're talking about blue, and that's yellow. We can't talk about yellow because we're talking about blue, and it won't go away. I got to ask a question. And that's happened on a few occasions where where the universe is saying, nudge, nudge, it's time to ask this question. And it brings up some most extraordinary things. A couple of questions before we wrap up the program. You've probably addressed this throughout the broadcast today, but I'm going to ask it directly. Who is Stephen Olson?
Well, my answer this morning is he's a collection of atoms and cells that somehow was brought together here in this form to be doing what I'm doing.
And what do you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing in this particular project?
Well, I think the term, you know, raising consciousness is perhaps a bit overused. If we can share stories, you know, this all started for me when I was coming back from spending a year traveling around Asia and talking to actually some of my neighborhood friends, people who I grew up with in San Francisco, about what I saw, what I heard, what I experienced. And they were quite engaged, and that just sort of grew to learning how to make films, how to write, how to tell stories. And I think the impetus is still pretty much the same, to engage, to inspire. That's what I hope to do. Mm. And by the way, it's not just me. This series is created by a whole team of people, a small team of people.
Yeah.
But we all put our best forward. And as we've often said, the series is so much bigger than all of us.
Yeah. And Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. What you've had to share with us is just extraordinary, and the work you and your team are doing is extraordinary. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks to you.
Any final words to our listeners in regards to Global Spirit, globalspirit.tv, and the other website, the .org, was onethroughlove.org?
Onethroughlove.org.
Great.
Yeah, I would just encourage people to go to those websites and tell us how you think we're doing, and tell us what inspires you. Tell us what kind of programs you'd like to see on Global Spirit. And that would be wonderful. We want to hear from you.
Great. Stephen Olson, director, producer, globalspirit.tv. Check it out. It's an extraordinary website, and we encourage you to go to richarddugan.com. We're linked to Stephen's website. My thanks to Stephen Olson for joining us here on the program. He's the director and producer of the series Global Spirit at globalspirit.tv. This program is a full one-hour interview. If you want to hear the whole interview, go to richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. That's richarddugan.com and the radio show's page following the broadcast. Until next Saturday at this same time, I'm Richard Dugan for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Love to Lal. Well, literally and figuratively, my hat is off to you and your team and everybody involved with Global Spirit. And before we wrap up the program, one of the other questions that has cropped up in my programs over the last, actually just the last 6 months, has to do with overall what you're dealing with in terms of the diverse subject matter, even though it's rather focused in one aspect. How powerful are we as human beings, do you think?
How powerful are we?
What?
In the sense that I think we have the power we have the power to affect change inside of us, and I think that internal transformation has extraordinary power to spread outwardly. For those who focus on the external world, obviously we have so many examples of the power of belief, of faith. We think of Mahatma Gandhi, who transformed the British colonial empire through simply his internal belief and state. So it's happening in both directions. Some are wired one way, others are wired the other. To underestimate our powers, one of the great dangers.
Hmm. Well, you folks, your team have exhibited some incredible and extraordinary power to bring to the forefront, to our television screens in particular, an opportunity for us to really, I think, get a glimpse into the direction that humanity is going and that people want it to go in. And I've talked with a lot of folks on this program, and a lot of folks still have a great deal of optimism for our civilized future. And I thank you for that. And Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. What you've had to share with us is just extraordinary, and the work you and your team are doing is extraordinary. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks to you.
Any final words to our listeners in regards to Global Spirit, globalspirit.tv, and the other website, the .org, was onethroughlove.org?
Onethroughlove.org.
Great.
Yeah, I would just encourage people to go to those websites and tell us how you think we're doing, and tell us what inspires you. Tell us what kind of programs you'd like to see on Global Spirit. And that would be wonderful. We want to hear from you.
Great. Stephen Olson, director, producer, globalspirit.tv. Check it out. It's an extraordinary website, and we encourage you to go to richarddugan.com. We're linked to Stephen's website. My thanks to Stephen Olson for joining us here on the program. He's the director and producer of the series Global Spirit at globalspirit.tv. This program is a full one-hour interview. If you want to hear the whole interview, go to richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. That's richarddugan.com and the radio show's page following the broadcast. Until next Saturday at this same time, I'm Richard Dugan for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Love to Lal.